Thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me. To start, can you tell me your name, age, and who you are?
My name is Marites Cortez. I am 57 years old, and I work for Cargill. I am their chemistry lab technician, Mount Crawford, Virginia. I came to Virginia in 2008.
And where did you come here from?
Came from Missouri, Springfield, Missouri. Cargill is a big company dealing with meat solution. I was working at Willowbrook Foods, dealing also with turkey. I was their lab tech for chemistry and micro. And Cargill bought it, and the lab supervisor here in Mount Crawford, Cargill, came to do inventory of our staff in the lab, and she offered me to come here and see her place if I like, to find out if I would like to go and work here also. So it was a last decision that I said, okay, I'll go. 3 days, it was all paid. Came and see, and I liked the place, and I saw a big opportunity for me to learn more testing. They have a bigger lab than where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, the associates who were working there, they were all women, and I feel like I was accepted. I feel very comfortable with them. So I decided to come just for a year to find out something. I told my kids, I have 2 kids, and I told my daughter to give me 1 year, let me go there just to change the scenery and know something. So I came. Then I like my job. I like the plant where I work too. Everybody were very friendly and accommodating, and feel like I have family too. And from coming over here, I met the, especially Pam Schuwalter. She was our assistant HR, and I was looking for a church. So she invited me to go with her to Church of Nazarene at Boyers Road and Republic Road. And so I went with her, and from then on, I'm also a member, I become a member of the church. And through that church, I met a lot of people, oriented, very humble, and I learned more about our God. And through our work too, with some people there, took me to become a member at the RMH Wellness Center. So I went there and met a lot of people also who are very positive-minded and very supportive, and was invited. One day I met Vonda Brown. She used to be the director for International Festival of Harrisonburg, and she invited me to go to one of her meetings. So I went, and then I got involved with the International Festival of Harrisonburg. From then on, until now, I'm still one of their planning committee of the International Festival of Harrisonburg, which they always do it end of, it's a Saturday, last Saturday of September every year. My story is very long.
I know you said that you planned on coming here for 1 year, but I feel like it's been more than 1 year.
It's more than, yeah, my reason of staying more here, I think because I got so much involvement with the community, and mm-hmm. feel like I really like it, and it made my life more interesting. So I meet a lot of people from different cultures, meet a lot of people who are distinguished rich people, but I found them very, very humble. And most of all, I learned more about our God. And with that knowledge, I'm able to defend and talk about him to my friends and even to my family. I'm Catholic by birth. I mean, I was born Catholic, but since I got divorced, I feel like I'm not anymore a Catholic because of I know how rigid, you know, the way it is with the Catholic church. So I was looking for another church like the Assembly of God and some other churches. But when I came over here, I find that Church of Nazarene is really where I belong, because of their goals is knowing God, and knowing God after that is go and reach out to people, you know, and share what I learned from. There's no pressure, that's it, which I like, and just being there and being very accepting, you know. And I think that's how I am, accepting and at the same time wanting to learn more about our Lord, and also trying and doing His way, just to, you know, to be His foot and hands, and able to share what I know about Him to my friends and to people who come to know me. And well, the first time I came here in 2008. That was like August, somewhere maybe 24 of August. And I came by car. My daughter Amabel came with me, and my co-workers here already reserved or already rented a place for me in Masanutin. I was there in Masanutin for 6 months. Then, one Sunday I went to church at Church of Nazarene. When I came out, there came Eva Tran, a Filipina married to a foot doctor here in town, Dr. Tom Tran, and asked me if I am from Philippines, you know, or I'm Filipina, and then invited me to go with her to meet other Filipinos, because I think I said okay, because I was alone, and I that time really I did not know a lot of Filipinos. Like, it took me 2 months to meet a Filipino. Mm-hmm. I go to Walmart, sometimes hang out there, and most of the people that come near to me are Spanish speaking, and they talk to Spanish to me. Well, I know how to speak Spanish too, so they thought I was Mexican. And even I think my Filipino friend that I made later on, they thought I was also a Mexican because I could, you know, I could speak Spanish. From Church of Nazarene, I met a lot of Mexican Spanish speaking people, and I made really good friendship with one from Dominican Republic. And she just left this month to go home and take care of her mom. But I'm hoping to see her one of these days to visit. Anyways, from Church of Nazarene, I met like the doctor, Pastor Sam, and I got involved in Hope Distributed. It's a food bank, so I started volunteering. I think that's why one of the reasons I came here, because I came to. I feel like when I do service, I was happy to mm-hmm. do something. At the same time, I said, well, I do this, I learn something, I connect with other people, know more other cultures. At the same time, learn how to speak better, or learn to communicate with the Hispanic, people because I sat down in the computer and asked for their basic questions mm-hmm. in Spanish. So my Spanish was being practiced. So I love doing that. And so I've been doing that a lot. And Cargill at the same time is a very good company because they support ambassador hours. You know, they support. Well, I'm doing this job outside Cargill. I get the hours as ambassador hours for Cargill. So they, you know, they acknowledge it. And mm-hmm. which is one of, I think, that year when I started doing a lot of things, I became one of their ambassador of the year for that plant.
Wow.
Because I had so many hours. I mean, mm-hmm. I was not doing something. I was just, I mean, at home, I could not just stay home because I was mm-hmm. like lonely thinking about my son, my kid. And so I devote my time doing service.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. And I feel good. And I was not really so lonely because I know I found myself having passion doing community service. I did not know that when I was in Springfield. I was very attentive to work, family, my mom and there, so my life evolved with my work and my family.
Mm-hmm.
I came over here, my work, my life become evolved with my work and the community. And I found that I love doing it. And being with the Filipino community at the same time, I got involved with them. And at first, I did not want to be a member because they have this membership and all this thing. And I didn't want to be any officers. I was just saying, I come and help out. I don't want to be an officer or something. Mm-hmm. But then Eva Tran then one day said, no, we want a vice president. Our community's name is Filipino American Community of Shenandoah Valley. So she said, we need a vice president because our vice president just stepped down and they want a replacement. And they saw me, I think I was very engrossed with community services. So she said, you can take that place. So I said, no, I don't know. But then later I said, okay. So I become vice president that starts in 2010. Until 15, because on the 15, the president stepped down. It's a 2 years term.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, right. So when she stepped down, there's one more year for her to do. So I have to step up and took her place. So I was doing that, and then the following year, there was an election again, and I just did it. So I did a 3 years presidency in our community.
Oh, wow.
until 2016.
Was that a lot of responsibility for you?
It was, and I was saying it was a lot of responsibility being president,
mm-hmm.
and I learned a lot from them. From that experience, I learned a lot. I learned to be strong, and I learned to be more independent, and I do find some shortcomings that if I had to get, you know, be back or be another person, I could do something different. I can modify it because I know how short I was on some areas.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that during my time, I did give my best. I did it all. And that made me more satisfied and happy of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Despite of all the struggles, it's a big struggle when you are in a position. Because if you have to step in when somebody's not there, or you have to do it all if there's no.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I understand what you mean.
I think it's everywhere in any kind. It doesn't have to be a president or even like what you're doing. If you are, like you have friends to do one job, and some is not giving too energy on it, not giving effort on doing it. So somebody who leads has to take over and make sure that it's done. And it brought me that realization that to be that maturity type of, you know, thing where I became very responsible. And the only thing that I could have done also is I became very serious, and I should not be, you know, I mean, because that's for just for myself, you know. But I could have, you know, just not give in to people when they said I should have put more thing. This is your part, you should do this. Mm-hmm. Not taking all the work. I mean, that's what we should have done, you know. But anyway, it's an experience that when it comes back, we'll not do it again, right? Mm-hmm. Because we learn from it. So, but through our community, being the president, I also meet a lot of community leaders from different culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, my friend circle become big, and my responsibility becomes bigger because they ask me to, oh, we're having meetings, leaders, and so because we are going to do this and that for the community. And I was always, you know, I was always doing it for the community. I always think, think about the community first, than me. So most of the time, my home is left because I'm always out. And they invite me, I'm always out.
Mm-hmm.
Come back home, I said, oh my goodness, it's good I'm alone, or else I would be in trouble. Anyways, that's the life I had, and being, the expectations of people also. Sometimes if you think about that, you'll be lost, you'll be depressed. So now I said, no, I mean, what I did, I know that I said, I cannot promise you anything, but I'll do my best while I'm in that position. I cannot do more than what you expect me. It's just giving my best. If you find me somebody who can do better than me, go for it. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but with our community, I feel like with me and the other people, because I cannot just do it by myself during my time, we achieve a lot of things. You know, we have done, like, we registered a social group, that's during my time. Then we have been performing during international festival. We do our cultural dances. And also 2 years ago, we also started our rondalla. It's a string instrument, and we added it in our performance during the festival.
Mm-hmm.
But with the community, we were able to, like, I'm also one of their dancers. So we were able to perform dances. We used to be invited by elementary schools. So we go like Stone Spring Elementary, the Harrisonburg Elementary School, that school behind Lowe's. I forgot the elementary school right there.
Skyline, I think. Yeah.
So we perform our cultural dances there. Then one time also for the first time and the last time, we participated on July 4 parade, and we had we won as the most creative, float. So it was something that I could think back and feel happy with it, because I know it was not given. It was with a lot of effort to do things like that, you know. So, but now that I'm not there, I could take deep breaths, and I could say, well, that's good too. Now I can. I told myself I can take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have. I bought me a house 3 years ago, a two-bedroom house, because from one, I told you, it was from Masanoten, 6 months, then to Eva's place for over 1 year, something. Then because she was saying that they were selling their place, so they helped me find another one-bedroom apartment with the Christofield properties at Pleasant Valley. So I stayed there until, June, I think. That was June, until June 2015. I stayed there, and then at that time I said, well, I don't know if my kids want me back, I would go back to Missouri. I will just forget my job. So I asked my kids, do you really want me to be there? Back to you? I said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go back if you really want me. Mm-hmm. Then my daughter said, no, mommy, just stay there, because they found out that my company is a big company and I would not be able to find me a job like that with the privileges.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have invested a lot of my time, because when I was working with Villa Brooks, I have 13 years, and they have accepted that year. So like that year plus this year, so I'm now 20-something mm-hmm. years. So that was a blessing for me to have that, because they honor my years of service at Willie Brooks. So at this time, I'm now getting all the benefits of the Cargill employee, and it's not easy to go start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking into, I'm 57 years old, 58 in October, so looking into an early retirement, which is maybe 62, 63, so I can spend my time with my grandkid. I have one now.
Congratulations.
Yes, she turned 1 year old in March this year. And so that's my plan as of now. You know, you'll never know. It can change, no? But where I am now is, I have changed really quite a bit from that experience of being the president and the going in out to serve, because I was very active with Relay of Life through our work, very active with that. Relay of Life, United Way,
mm-hmm.
Black Run Cleanup, which we just did, of Harrisonburg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then I am a mentor of also of the BBS, Big Sister, Big Brothers. I started with them through our company too. This is my third year.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah. I have, maybe she's 12 years old now, I think. Yeah, she was 9 when I started. So Black Run, United Way, and from time to time, there was a time I was with the Climate Change with Johnny, and the Voice of Harrisonburg. I don't know if you heard about that. It started about 2 years ago. I was there in the first year with Lisa Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I started with that. But then last year, really, my health was going down. I have a knee surgery, total knee replacement. It was hard for me. So I had my surgery in November last year.
Mm-hmm.
So really, my health, that prevails me to be more active, because every time I stepped, it was just hurting. So
mm-hmm.
I decided to have the total knee replacement and came back to work this early 18th of January up to now. And I'm trying to just reorganize my life. You know, it's not mm-hmm. easy. I did not know that, you know. Yeah, going back, doing your normal work, and then being alone now. I have a house. I have more responsibilities. Mm-hmm. The yard, the inside, you know, it's different when you are just being in an apartment.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's so many things, like the Hope Distributed. We're raising funds for it. We have a new building and we're raising funds. So this year, really, I'm not that very much involved. I'm still trying to recoup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm planning to be to go back and be also a help with the International Festival coming this year. hope you will see us. You come and see us.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, and we will be needing some help too.
I do the love festival, to get involved.
The festival, we will be needing a lot of help.
I love to get involved too, so yes, you have my phone number and email.
Yeah, and you can even come and be in our meetings too. So the more people, and we know that the more diverse we are, the better we can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, that's where I am too, that I am so enthused and so motivated to, I like people to come, like, you know, give them support and give them encouragement and motivation to be involved, because really life is short, and when you are involved, that's when you are, you feel more in it and you feel more happier because you see the fruit of your labor. Talking is not, you talk and you walk with it, and that's the best way you can do. So 2018 by August, this is my 10 years.
Oh wow.
Here in Harrison, in Virginia, because Masanot in 6 months, then Harrisonburg after that until 2015. Then my house, I'm now in my house.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. So that's, Harrisonburg has changed a lot, really. When I came in, it was like a very small town. It was like very few people, but then lately, like maybe 2-3 years from ago, started like it was just going up and down everything. Like now, I see lots of houses right there in Republic Road. There was no houses in that side.
Do you think these have been good changes or?
For me, it is for me. I love changes because I know when it's changes, there's, it's beneficial for everyone. You know, you cannot stay like history, you know. You need to evolve and be a better person. Maybe you encounter things that are not good, but at the same, because there's always bad and good things, you know. Even us, we have our bad side and good side. But if we cultivate our good side, we'll be more better person. Do not cultivate the bad side. So that's, when I meet somebody, I always look for the good things. Because I know when I look for bad things, there's always something that I can nitpick. But when you meet somebody and look at the good things, even you hear people saying, oh, she is that, she's that. I said, I'm not going to be that judgmental or not. Just letting them, because of what they said, I will just follow. It's how the person react with me and how the person talk with me that I can say something. Yeah. And sometimes I said, well, now that, because I know God, I said, God, please help me. Help this person change or realize what she's doing. Because there are certain, you see, there are certain times, there are certain ways when you can also tell this person, you know, you cannot just tell. You're not good. You did this one. You know, it's something like I learned to feel. How a person may react or something. I don't know if you have that.
No, I understand what you mean.
As you grow, as you get more experience, you learn that feeling. But it's sometimes it's just if our mind is so busy, we don't have that. But if we just slow down a little bit and even listen to what the person say, you can get it.
And can you think of any, I guess, any further changes that you would like to see in our community here in Harrisonburg, or improvements?
I would love for the people to be more involved, you know, on what we're doing here. Because in reality, it's when you are involved that you can make more changes. You know, I want to see the other people get motivated, get excited, get, you know, find something in them that we can use to excite them, so they see the good changes. You know, we need to be more on top of the good changes, even though we cannot say that it's a good change, you know, but be open to it. And if there's something that's you think that will not give a positive impact to them, then we can find solution, but solution get solutions from, you know, from the discussion of the different groups in the community, because I know we have different culture and our mentality are different.
Mm-hmm.
Even Americans, I think it depends on how they grow up in their houses too. They have their own culture at home, and more on us, we come from different country, and sometimes I know a lot of my friends, they have a terrible time, just terrible time to adjust in this country. Because one example is, like, in my country, you can go and visit your friends anytime. Here we need to call. And you go, sometimes you come to our place and we're eating. You are invited. That's why we always cook more food, you know, mm-hmm. because if there's somebody there, we can always have this, share our food.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want somebody sitting down there and we're eating. We want to share and have them with us. And sometimes it was, for me, it was one of my shock, because I know that these kids are coming to my place, and when we are eating, we were always so open and give them something to eat. But one day I was in their house and they were eating. I feel so bad. I was so embarrassed because they were eating and they're just like looking at me and didn't say nothing. You know, so I was so embarrassed. I didn't know what to do. So I said, well, can I just go home? I'll come back. Yeah, because, you know, it's just, we're not used to
it's
it.
It's different, yeah.
Yeah, but with my stepdad, because my dad passed away when he was 42. My mm-hmm. mom remarried my stepdad, who is from Salem, Missouri. And they were here in, she came to stay here in 1984. I think that's when, in U.S. And I came here in 1990 to stay. Came from Liberia, West mm-hmm. Africa. So he did not know too much too, and we were staying there, and we used to he was just eating and just eating, and I think he was thinking that we just go dig in and eat, because at first we were staying in their house. We took refuge because of the civil war in Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
So we were ordered to get out of the country because it was really getting bad.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my kids came to my mom, to them, and stayed with them for a year. But at first, yeah, I think it was hard a little bit, but at least he was a very nice stepdad. And he was just to eating and all, but then later on he changed too, because we were there and he said, come on, get some food, you know. So we kind of,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And how old were your kids when you came here with them?
Oh, my son was, it was 1990, and he was born 85, so five years.
Okay.
And my daughter is about three to 4 years old, because she's born in 87.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the first time I came here in America is 1985. Then I stayed a little bit longer because I went with my mom to Philippines, and we did have his birthday in Philippines and then came back here. So I came for vacation for 3 months, that's including Philippines and here. Then when my daughter was 4 months old in 87, we took her also here so my mom can see her. So in 1990, we came to stay because mm-hmm. of the bad thing. And I was not yet, I was not, I came with a passport, with a, how you call this one, I was not an immigrant yet. Then we applied for a green card holder, and then my mom, because my ex-husband is from Spain, didn't say, now your mom is coming, or is getting married to an American, don't tell me that you want to go to America. You know how Spanish people sometimes, so I don't know if you know some other, they have also this thing of them that they are so proud people too. So I said, I never thought of coming this way, really. I never thought of being a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we immigrant, and then we realized that Africa is not going to be a better country for us, and the kids started going to school.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom petitioned us, and we worked on our papers. We were still here. We did pay a lawyer to take care of our papers. We didn't have to get out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we had our green cards. Then later on, the time that we could do our being a citizen, I did not do it until like, I think I came 2000, become a citizen to about 2007, I think, 2007 or 6. I applied for my citizenship.
And what was it like coming here and I guess adjusting to this new climate with your kids being so young too?
That was not really a problem because Africa is very hot and humid. It came here in April, so it was a little bit colder. Oh, we were so scared. Remember, in Missouri, the thunder and the lightning, man, they were like giant hearing, you know, there was a giant, mm-hmm. and the three of us, because my mom had this big bed, a queen size bed. So the three of us, when we hear the lightning and the thunder, we were, three of us were just covered with the with the blanket. We were hugging each other because we were so scared. But then later on, it was kind of, yeah, it was so cold, and it was like, yeah, we did. One thing that I learned through my mom is she was always on top of me. I said, you will not survive in here if you are too slow. Because I usually just cook, so I just attend to my cooking. When I wash my clothes, I just attend to washing clothes. See, not here in America. I learned multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
So when I cook, she showed me cook, wash clothes, and iron. We used to iron clothes until the time that we learned not to iron it. But she showed me, mm-hmm. when you don't have to iron if you are on top of it. When it's done, you take it out right away, flap it, and it's almost like you're ironing and you fix it good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you let it stay there, it will be all wrinkled. But you know, when it's wrinkled, you can just turn it on again, warm it up, and put the best thing is put in a hunger. I learned that one.
My mom taught me that too.
Yeah, hang it. Yeah, so you don't have, but my mom is very good. She said, when she just take it out and all this fold it good, and it just come out like you iron it mm-hmm. when it's still warm. Yeah, so my mom was like, you cannot do this, and all the time my mom was like, so here that, you know, at first I was not able to work because I came here as just a visitor visa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, until we had a friend, my sister was working in one restaurant and she knew the owners. And she waitress, it's good money in there. You know, when you waitress, it's really mm-hmm. good. Especially on a good restaurant, they give really good tips. So to change my environment and being bored, being home, and not doing anything. So I go like Friday nights and Saturday nights, like I was doing a hostess, mm-hmm. hostessing, yeah. Then later on, when I have my, you know, when my papers were okay, I love to cook. So I found a part-time job, just a part-time job cooking for some priests in that. And I learned a lot of things doing it also because they just let me cook and they just let me go to the grocery stores and just sign my name and get whatever I want for me to. And it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, I went, and my mom was always on top of me. She said, you need to go back to school. She wanted me to become a nurse because it was on demand. So I went to school, do my pre-nursing courses, and started first sem for registered nurse at St. John's School of Nursing.
In New York?
In Springfield, Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was in Missouri. So, but I do have a bachelor degree in zoology. That's my major, and my minor is chemistry. I wow. have graduated in Liberia, University of Liberia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because that's where I came from. Mm-hmm. I went there when I was 18 years old, and then went to school.
What?
I should not be saying that. Well, my dad worked for the government of health. He was a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he went to Africa, and he was one of the a doctor in one province. He was the medical officer of one province of Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 18, and I had a boyfriend, a Filipino, who was in Canada, and asked my dad for marriage. I was in Philippines. They left us in Philippines because we were still second year. I was a sophomore doing a Bachelor of Science.
Mm-hmm.
My dad called and said, "What? What's this?" I said, "I was not ready for marriage. My boyfriend was." And so he decided for me and my other sister to take us to Africa. Because
mm-hmm.
he did not want us to get married so young. I was just 18. So after there I went, we went to school there, but then that the same year too, my dad passed away. He had a cardiac arrest. He was, I don't know, he was doing so much work where they had some epidemics from that province, and he had to take almost every day travel to Monrovia, the capital of Liberia, to pay for his patients because they did not have the resource, the medicine to take care of them. So they had to go mm-hmm. to the main hospitals. They were just, at that time, they were just building a hospital also.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad stayed in the hospital for two nights. One Saturday we went there and spent time with them, went home to our friend to sleep. Sunday morning we were waking up and said, "Hey, you need to go to the hospital, you need to go to your dad." So, but when I reached there, dad already passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, 42 years old. So we took his cadaver home to the Philippines. Everything is paid by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And the government of Liberia offered a scholarship to finish school.
Oh, wow.
So that's what happened. And then there I met my ex-husband from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mom started working for their company. And my mom met my my dad, my stepdad. And mm-hmm. I said, "Well, I better go home to Philippines. I don't want to be in the middle of them relationship. I don't want to stay with them when they get married."
Mm-hmm.
And there comes this guy, my ex-husband, said, "Hey, this he felt." He told me how he felt and that it's okay if I go back to Philippines. But then I decided, okay, I just marry. Got married with him for 16 years and have these two kids, Amabel and Alexis, and got divorced here in 97, we got
mm-hmm.
divorced. And at the same time, my stepdad passed away. The same day we were in the court. Yeah, my stepdad passed away. My mom is never married, but we're four girls, all girls, no boys. I'm the oldest.
Are your siblings here too? Or?
Yeah, we're all here. Yeah, my stepdad. One was in Philippines before then. My stepdad was asking only went for her. It was very mm-hmm. hard for her to come
mm-hmm.
because she was over age already. When my mom get married with my stepdad, it took them only a week or 2 weeks to change the nationality.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my stepdad was a diplomat. He was a agriculture specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Liberia at that time, with and USAID personnel. So it was okay because my sister was only 8 or 9 years old when it happened, when they got married. Mm-hmm. So it was easy for them. So she went and traveled with them, and they went to Bangladesh. And then they came, he said, 60 years old. My stepdad said, no, I want to retire. So they stayed here. And my mom stayed with them, and she went to work and get some certificate, become the one that gives medicine to the older people. She had to do. She was only a nursing student when she married my dad at that time, when they get married. So when she came here, she went back to, she worked in the nursing home, and then we got certified. And that's the thing. When I came in here, yeah, it was hard for me because I wasn't so used. I was used to have my own place and have somebody do things for me. I came back here, I had to do everything, and nobody would take care of my daughter and my son, so I have to do that. And then I also found out that my son was also, he is disabled. He is, he has retardation, mental, like a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing. I think really that it's the main thing. That's why we decided to stay here in America, because of his future. You know, I want him to be happy, and I found out and I've seen how the American accept disabled people and how they make the support and have their life better.
Mm-hmm.
Where I could not find it at home in the Philippines or in Spain. Because
mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of disabled people in Spain. They hide them from people. They stay at home. Here, I see a lot of things they can do. You know, a lot of things they offer for them to have a full life, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I like and made me, you know, say, yeah, this is a place for my son.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of things has your son been doing?
Well, yeah, at first it was tough also really having that for him, because he is mentally a child. He's 33 years old. He just turned 33 last 18 of this month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he goes to workshop in Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an access bus that comes pick him up. We pay a little bit because mm-hmm. it's government funded. So Monday to Wednesday, he works in the workshop. And then Thursday to Friday, he goes to continue ed, to learn skills like money, cashier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but during like Mondays after work, he goes bowling. We enrolled him in bowling, and on Tuesdays he goes to team. He goes to a park there where a lot of the same disabled people of different categories, they go meet and they do things together. Yeah, and mm-hmm. I wanted him more, but my daughter said, no, mom. He won't even have more time, spend time with dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. But he wants to come here with me. And as a mom, I feel so bad about it, though, because I know whenever I go and visit them, he hugs me. The day that I go home, he just hugs me. Mom, I want to go with you. I want to leave him, because he is now with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but before that, he was always with me. We got divorced. He was with me. She stayed with me, just me and him, because my daughter was with her
mm-hmm.
dad. Middle school, she went and with him, staying with him
mm-hmm.
in a different city, which is like about 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but my son was always with me. He only go and visit his dad on weekends, like Friday night, he comes pick him up, and he send him back to me on Sunday afternoon. So when I came over here, that was really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I was crying almost sometimes when I was doing my job, because I miss him a lot. And whenever I go, he likes it to me and he hugs me that one and he turns away. And then when there was one time, I know he was crying. Yes, he was. Uh-huh. When I leave, because sometimes when I go there, I drive by myself. I don't have to drive by myself. 14 hours driving time. Yeah. And then one time I went back, I said, oh, I forgot something.
Hi.
He turned around and I see this big tears just running down the cheek. So I went back to writing then and I'm just crying halfway to St. Louis. You know, I don't know if you know Springfield, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Springfield and St. Louis is like about 4 hours drive.
Mm-hmm.
My I have two sisters and they live in O'Fallon outside St. Louis. So that's where I go sometimes, stop there before I proceed my trip to Springfield. Like, I leave here like 7 o'clock in the morning, or if I could, better, 5. I reach to their place in St. Louis about, let's say, about 8 o'clock. Because, you know, the time change. There's one time.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So I reach there about 8 o'clock in the evening. So, yes, sometimes I just stay there, so spend time with them, sleep there, and then the following day I go proceed
mm-hmm.
to Missouri, which is about 4 hours drive again. But there was a time I went straight, though. I went straight from here there. I reached like maybe 11 or 12 o'clock.
Oh, wow. Do you feel like here in Harrisonburg there would be less opportunity for your son? Or
there is a lot of opportunity because I went and look for it. I went to the workshop. I met a lot of people. I was researching about the opportunity, the possibilities for him to come. But the reason that I just stopped doing it because I don't want to have any bad relationship with his sister, mm-hmm. Amabel, and his dad. Because his dad told the kids that the only reason why he's here is because of them, or else he would have been in Spain. So I think in my daughter's mind, I said, Mom, Dad cannot go. And for him to be with me, I'm just me. You know, if something happened to me, what will happen to Alexis?
Mm-hmm.
So while there, she is there, her dad is there, and my mom is there. So that's the main thing. So I just stopped. Because mm-hmm. she told me, if you insist on taking him there, I will fight you in court. And I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want our family to be close, to be together. Mm-hmm. Now that they have accepted that me and her dad cannot, you know, we outgrow each other. We cannot be together. You know, it's just not.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that and she accepted that. And I don't want more, you know, conflict.
Yes.
So that's why when I go there, yeah, he has a bowling. It's like he's so happy. And wherever I go, he wanted to be with me all the time. We go to Walmart. I say, stop talking, because he's loud. And then he tells the cashier, this is my mom from Virginia. And she just, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That's my son. But he is fun-loving. Very helpful, wants to help all the time. Only my mom don't want him to help. She thinks that she is faster. You know, she didn't have that patience. Mm-hmm. But when you have, you know, that's one thing with mom, doesn't have patience. She's like in her, my mom's 77 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I miss him, but at the same time, thinking I have to be strong because I want him to bond with his dad and his sister. I know if I'm there, even my daughter, I think, will not be so strong like now, because I know if they want something, I will be running, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm not there, they have to struggle too, and struggle makes you strong.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like how you learned how to be more independent.
Yeah, and becoming more independent. Yeah, first time I came here in Missouri, in Missouri or not, not the time that we spent, I was so scared to go out alone. I don't want to go out alone. Mm-hmm. My stepdad taught me how to drive. Yeah, I already drove in Africa where I have a stick shift car. Mm-hmm. But when I came here, so my stepdad showed me how to use the automatic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but then, yeah, I learned. And then I realized that if I don't go venture to other farther places, I'll not go nowhere. So that's what I did. And I showed my other friend who's been there for a while. She was so scared to go to Kansas City. I know, Kansas City. Have you been there?
I have not been there, no.
Boy, they have these four lanes. And they drove fast. And my friend, she used to go there to attend a service because she is Church of Christ. But Church of Christ founded by a Filipino in Philippines. So they have a church there, and she is part of that. Mm-hmm. And she used to call me and tell me, let's go drive the car for me. And yeah, it's so fast. It's like 70 up there. Mm-hmm. And four lanes. And then now she does drive.
Did you teach her how to drive, or?
I think it's not teaching. She knew how to drive, but the thing is the courage. You know, the courage to go there, to be mm-hmm. brave, to go. Because she was frozen, scared. And I know that's our thing, is when we are scared, we cannot do anything. It stops us from doing something. It stops us from feeling the good things. Mm-hmm. It does. The fear, it stops us. It makes us do... just do something. You don't want to change because you want just the common thing. You want the normal thing. You want what you used to be, but it's when, like, change. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the change in Harrisonburg. If we are not open to change, just imagine. Mm-hmm. Just imagine we'll not grow. You know, the mentality of the people will not. They'll be stuck. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody come in, they will say, what? Because it's when you are exposed to new things, exposed to other people, exposed to other culture, that your knowledge also will expand. And then by that, I feel like when you know about them, you will learn to respect, you will learn to understand why they do this and that. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know, you say, so weird. Why are you doing that one? That's not right. But how would they know that's not right when they don't know how we are brought up, how we see things? Mm-hmm. I mean, as for me, yeah. That's me. And I think, I feel exposure, exposing people to other culture, to things that may be kind of weird, will help a lot to, mm-hmm. to open the mind of the community. That's why involvement of everyone and discussing things together where we can discuss, we can talk, you know, in an adult way. Mm-hmm. We don't have to quarrel. We don't have to fight. Mm-hmm. We can compromise and find good ways to do things, you know, where everyone involved gets the benefits. I always look that there's always a way where we can benefit, mm-hmm. It's educate.
Now, I know you've told me about quite a few important changes in your life. Were there any other important changes?
My religion, yeah, the changes. For me now, I have changed a lot through experiences like. Relationship for me is, I would not say sacred, but I do respect, and it's a big thing for me, relationship, mm-hmm. you know. And when I relate with people, I do the best way I can where I can be more authentic, you know. And the one that changed me is like being in that church, a lot of people are so down to earth and are so open to their bad experiences, because it's very hard to tell other people your bad experience. We want to tell the good things, you know. And it's so hard to accept that we do make mistakes. And that's one thing that I have learned, that being honest and being authentic and being respectful and open-minded will help me a lot. It makes my life different. My perception has changed. Mm-hmm. I have changed. Yeah. I have changed. And I know I am patient, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very patient. But I was a little bit judgmental before, and now I'm not. I'm not that judgmental.
Judgmental in like what sense?
Judging people, how they, like culture-wise, you know, why do you do this and why do you do that? I accept that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that I have to do it. I will not tell you, oh, that's not good, because, I mean, I know God, but that's the part where I could not see God. They know what they're doing, or they don't know what they're doing, please. It's not for me to tell them, but it's, you know, I will pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are so many things here that's done, that, like morality, you know, it's not for me. And I just pray for that. Mm-hmm. Because now they have started something in church, like said, girls, don't be so preaching. Girls, don't just open your legs. I'm sorry. Don't just open. And boys, don't do that. You know, your mom, you have to think, you need to respect the women.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's just that thing that people really devalue. Our values are different. You know? I think there's a lot of... I just feel like being a woman, we deserve the best. And having the best is also finding self-respect in us, because if we don't have self-respect, you cannot expect the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to love yourself, to have your own value, and to stand firm for it. It cannot be just because, like, this guy got so much money, this guy is have the best sports car and all, it's okay. It's not okay. You have to think of the consequences. I feel like everybody has a choice, no? But it's not for me to judge them that kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But as for me, I want the best with God's blessing. And so I think that's why I'm still like this. I mean, people will say, why didn't you get married again? I have experience, but it's hard, you know? It's hard to trust. And I want, in a relationship, substance is very important.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody cannot respect you and don't have any value, how can you? I want a marriage. I don't want any more divorce. I want marriage for life, if there is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's what I say. I'd rather be not married and have somebody. I'm still happy. So they think I'm lonely. I'm not. I know God. I have a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have your whole community here.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the whole community, and I learn. And I keep still, I'm still growing. Every day we are growing, really. Every day we're learning something. We just have to be open. And one thing also I learned is to accept it. Because I think I have that feeling that I don't deserve it. Now I said, thank you. Before I said, oh, no, I didn't do it. You know that feeling? Oh, that's not it. Now I learn to say, when somebody say, come in something good, I say, oh, thank you. We need to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to learn to love ourselves, being human, being a woman. You know, we need to.
I think that's a great attitude to have.
Yeah, and I hope that we can instill it to other women, because we deserve the best. And to be really the best is to have our own self-value,
mm-hmm.
to be firm with it. And money is not everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? You may have money now. How about tomorrow?
Could be gone.
It's gone. And when it's gone, what you do? You'll be crying in the street, asking for help. Nobody's helping. Maybe your friends will help you for now or for 2-3 days or be awake. But they cannot continue helping you.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own family.
Nice. I have another question. Since being here, I guess building on the judgment, have you experienced any judgment from other people?
Maybe, but I don't look at that way. I don't put it in my mind because I know there's people that are always, they survive from negativity. You know, they get people. So to do that, I've seen people that will put you down to make them feel good about you. But that's up to you, really. That's up to us if we let them do that.
Mm-hmm.
We call toxic people, never happy. Never happy, they always complain. I met those people too. People will always talk something no matter how you try, how you be positive with them and try to put energy in them, but they are not happy. I learned to stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to just get away.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from that people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stay away and have your sense of you don't want to be crazy. You don't want to be depressed. Be with people who give you positive energy, who makes you feel happy, because it happens a lot to me, especially at work. I mean, sometimes you are overworked and people get like depressed and start bickering. I don't want to. Or not just work, friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get involved with that. I don't want to get involved with that. Stay away from drama.
So I know you told me where you're working now, and you told me back when you were in Missouri that you worked as a hostess and as a cook. Did you do anything else in between that time, or?
I work with Willowbrook Foods too. I know everything right there because I started as a, how you call this one? I started from the bottom, like any production.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with turkey in there. So I started second shift. That was fun too. It was open, wide, an eye-opening for me because learning, oh, this is how ham was made. You know, those slices that you buy at the grocery stores. Oh, this is how we do it. I said, they say, we need to strip it. I said, what stripping? Because we put this, they make this ham, and they put it in a special plastic, and they put it in the oven to cook it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the oven, that's when we strip the plastic. We take out the plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's taken from there, we either rub it with spices. Sometimes you can see there's lots of spices. We either rub it, or some of them, it goes through the conveyor belt with a liquid, like a smoke. It drip smoke on it. I mean, that's eye-opening for me. I never seen this, how they made. From there, we put it in the machine where it bags again. We bag them. Then it put the dates and then put in the box. Then mm-hmm. put from that box, it goes to pallets, then to the car, to the truck that mm-hmm. will deliver it, you know. And some of them we fry. And from there, I worked that production for some times. Then I got so tired because I said, what's going on? Women work better than men, though. I've seen guys, I said, these are big guys, but look at this. They're like, I'm not saying lazy, but I think they let the women work.
I believe it.
Yeah, we work more than the men. So I said, oh, let me go to sanitation. Mm-hmm. I worked for sanitation, but first I was working in the laundry. 6 months. That I will not forget because that was a tough job. Never ending. Washing, folding, drying the smocks, mm-hmm. white smocks, the gloves, the sleeves, the aprons, the gloves, standing. And it's never ending. And then somebody asked for supplies, you know, come there. I was doing a second shift, so I said, oh. I went home to Philippines for a vacation. When I came back, I said, no, I want to do other things. So I went and do other things. I clean. Start cleaning floors, cleaning mm-hmm. bathrooms. I've never done that in my life. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning floors and then cleaning containers where the brine for the turkey, the brine that they fix for turkeys to make. So injectors, I know I said injectors, choppers, huge massagers, huge machines. Bigger than this one. And I learned at first I was waiting for somebody. I'm too small. I cannot lift something. You know, sometimes you have to lift the, mm-hmm. the cover. I keep on looking. After that, I said, no, I cannot wait for somebody to come and help me. I find ways where I could take it out so I can clean it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started from that. Then I become a trainer. From, you see, it's by hats. White. Then I have yellow, which is training. Mm-hmm. Then blue. The blue, it was become you become an area leader. I don't know another name. And red is the supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
So I become blue. I got the hat for blue. And when you have that, you have to learn, know how to train, know how to inspect, because you have to inspect machines before QC come, quality control. Before production come and do use the area. So you need to clean all those areas.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to, nobody wanted to climb. It's not climbing, but you have to have a G-cliff where it push you, that thing, that machine that goes up to clean the units. Yeah, you have to put harness and all. I had to do things that I've never done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and dealing with different kind of people that there, because there's a lot of people that can stay. It was third shift, you know, from 10:30 to 6:30
mm-hmm.
in the morning. So a lot of us, our coworkers come from a halfway house. Do you know what is halfway house?
No, I'm not familiar with
them. They were criminals. They were like, some of them were mostly, the one that we had was, they were, meth, they made meth. Mm-hmm. So they were in jail. Halfway house is like halfway going out. They're almost ready to get out, to finish their sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in the halfway house and then they're supervised. They have something in there.
So on their ankle?
In their ankle. Yeah, they have that one. They come and work. Willowbrooks is okay for them, but Cargill don't accept felons. So they were felons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cargill don't accept those. If you have a felony thing, they will not accept you. Cargill won't accept. But Willowbrooks before, yes. Especially sanitation, because we're always short of people, and it's hard to get people to work third shift.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people from halfway house. Some of them mostly from meth production, and some of them really killed some people too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they were in the halfway house. They're almost done.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always somebody that we can call if something happened. So I started from knowing everything from there, and that I feel so. For me, I'm happy because, for me, I knew it. It's just the knowledge of knowing,
mm-hmm.
being able to do it. That's where I am. I mean, I was not thinking about the status really. It's just my knowledge that learning things, and being able to do it, and at the same time. Really is also having respect with other people, even though they come from that type, from that area of their life, you know? Mm-hmm. Because there are things that I found very good in them, because they are criminals doesn't mean that they are so bad. They are bad.
Mm-hmm. And now, so what kinds of, I know you told me a little bit about your job now, but what kinds of work and, like, what kinds of people are you working with now here in Harrisonburg?
Oh, here, we're like family where I'm working with. We're mm-hmm. not so many. There's one guy. Only one guy. Mostly are women. And now, this time, I really am so happy because I see teamwork, you know, helping each other. Mm-hmm. Before, when I first came in, it's just like, you do this, you always do that. And then the others just do this, you know. Now, they learn there's more... people getting into each other, helping each other, and if somebody cannot do it, they just jump in and help you. Mm-hmm. Before, they said nobody help. That's your part. You finish that one. Mm-hmm. Nothing there. Nobody. And before also, it's like because when you are new, you do the worst thing. Mm-hmm. And some just want to sit down. Some will, you have to continue doing the testing like that. But now I've seen so much that they have changed in a way where, excuse me, I wanted to learn other things, that not just testing. Now I'm learning more different stuff. Because when I came in, I was really more on the chemistry side. I'm mm-hmm. doing nutritional value testing for nutritional value of our products, like protein, salts, calcium, mm-hmm. Fats, some other special testing. That's the use it for, I think they use it for labels of our product, moistures. Mm-hmm. Now, when I came back from the surgery, since I wasn't there, I think, because I wasn't there to do all that. So she stopped accepting other testing, but the more basic one. Now in chemistry, we're only doing bones, calcium, moisture. I think that's more or less salt. We're not doing any more like fats and protein. We're mm-hmm. not doing. So now I'm more... In fact, more of my time is with the micro area. We're testing Salmonella, Listeria, Campylobacter, all these bacteria that make us sick. Mm-hmm. You know, we're growing it to find out. We grow it using their samples from different plants. We get samples from Nebraska, with their Scarbill in Nebraska, from mm-hmm. Springdale. We have Dayton plant. We have Chamberville. They send us products, Albert Lea, to test for Salmonella and to test for some bacteria and yeast, like the gravies there. So I'm learning all those, and I'm working now on learning to really finish the whole process, like putting the samples into the machine. We have big machines mm-hmm. that will analyze it. They will read it, and it gives us result after, I think it's after 3-4 hours. So, and then that one. I have quite a few to learn more, like reporting stuff, reading the, we have plates, we culture it, we put in a plates, and then after we put incubator, and we read how many spots there, and then they have their special how many colonies and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and what is acceptable and not acceptable. So it's I like it, yeah, because before I told my supervisor, remember, that I was just doing my chemistry, and I think I was bored. Mm-hmm. So I went out to the community. I put more of my time to the community. And I don't know, it was God's thing too, because he let me do it. Like attending Voices of Harrisonburg meetings, like on Wednesdays, like at Tea House. I used to go there like for an hour or two. I came out from my work, and she did not mind. I came out, I go back.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the chemistry, I didn't mind staying alone too. I mean, staying for long. As long as I finished my testing, she did not mind. That's how flexible she is. So it was really, I think God put it in a way where I could come in and out. I've been going to lots of meetings. I come out, hey, bro, I have these meetings. I said, okay. Then I come back and finish what I have to do on that day. Sometimes I come out like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening for some occasions where I have to go and attend meetings. And she did not mind. So it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think she's still okay. But I have not really done that because we are very short-handed. And I see my friends there need my help, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to leave people doing those thing and I'm out there, you know. I think I have to prioritize, you know. I told myself I came to Virginia to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the community. My main reason why I'm here because of my job.
Mm-hmm.
I came to work. I came here to connect with people, not to separate them.
Mm-hmm.
And to know God. That's my main thing. And I want to see improvement. I want to see, that's, I think, for my community, that people will learn and other things, and that life is short and there's so much stuff you can learn if you're just open to it.
Mm-hmm.
There is.
Yeah.
You learn a lot of things, even the small things. Just be open to it. Don't be close. And I just think life is very interesting. What do you think?
I agree, yeah. I mean, especially being here like on a college campus, there's so many things that when you just open your eyes and look around, you realize there's so many things that you can learn from all of the experiences that you have and the people that you interact with. Like whether or not you realize it at first, when you reflect on those things, you realize how they kind of changed who you are.
Yeah, it does. And then you become acceptable. We are accepting to them. And you become to realize that, hey, is that it? You're understanding and you give respect. But when you do that, you are respecting yourself. Don't you know that? When you respect yourself, you respect others. But sometimes you don't. Because we got so our minds just going somewhere. We tend to forget. There's just so many things in our mind, and then you come to realize, oh, wow. And you learn something from them.
Mm-hmm. I just have a couple more questions to I just kind of wrap it up. Are there any, I know I asked you about changes that you would like to see in Harrisonburg. Are there any changes that you would like to see in the nation in general?
I always think about, really, I want people that we are here on earth to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that I always think like all of this really come back to love. You know, all in thinking about it, that at the end, it's all about love. Because, you know, if we can only, with love, you have respect, you have understanding, you have compassion. And, you know, if we have only that one, there will be peace in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do, we have to complicate life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. No, I mean, I think it's us. It's us people thinking only about ourselves. It's us thinking I'm better than the other one. It's us thinking I want more. If we don't have that one, if we just be accepting and be able to be just satisfied of what we have, you know. And I don't think we have to fight. We have to kill each other, you know. It's like it's the greed in us, maybe being selfish, being, you know. If we can work it out and take that one out from the mentality of other people who have that, I think the world will be a better place to live in. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that thing. It's the material things. I think if we learn, I'm not saying I know God, but maybe you think other people think of other person, you know, that they believe in. If only we learn to understand and we learn to respect each other, I think we can solve this chaos, this war in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want something, say something to that. Like, you think about the union thing, union. Some people want to have union, some people don't. I was just going into what happened with Cargill too the other day. I don't know if you read. They were trying to, some people get unionized, the Cargill. Mm-hmm. But my friend called me. I said, "Oh, I've just been thinking about you because I saw her name on the paper that she was one of the people that was arrested. They went to Dayton plant, Cargill, and they want to just demand something, talk to them, and nobody came out. So I think they went to the premises and said, so they were caught because they were against the law, right? They went mm-hmm. into them. They should just be say not in the property. But at the same time, Cargill did not send any representative to meet these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my friend, I don't know, because that I will ask God to give me more guidance about it, because this is very sensitive. I just feel like if there is somebody who knows how to, who knows, somebody who can talk to Cargill, somebody, and how you call it, intermediate person that can talk to Cargill with the other people who have demands or who were affected, you know, who feel depressed or who feel repressed or by them, because you know they're out of job because things happen.
Mm-hmm.
If there's some representative that can talk to them and make them see what's happening, I mean, if they could resolve the problem, we don't need union. We don't mm-hmm. have to be unionized. I mean, it's the same thing. In union, you have to pay. You know, and it's the same. The same thing. Some people are good, some people are not. Some people take advantage of it. You know, like my sister's been telling me about there too in New York, they are union. It's good, it will represent you, but there are some people too that is using it. Not using it in a way that, because they're in union, some people, they use it in a bad way. So I just feel that whatever we do, we have the choices, but then in our choices, there's always a positive and negative outcome. So we just have to balance,
mm-hmm.
you know, to find balance where if it has a positive or a negative outcome, that it's, or there's more positive than negative, because you cannot, I don't think we can have a perfect thing. Mm-hmm. Only God. I don't think there's always something, because I just feel like life is made of positive and negative. And then to find out, how can you see what is positive and negative if everything is positive or everything is negative? you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see how I see? If you do, like you behave the same way, and you see the same thing, a child watching you see, you behave the same. So the child will see that behavior. It's the same thing. But if he sees something that the other one is not behaving the same way, then Elton can compare and he can tell which one is better for him. That's my analogy or something.
Yes, you like to lead by example, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I always say talk is cheap. So it's like lead by example. If you say something, not just with lips, do it with your work with it. That's the same thing what you're doing. You're going to school. It's not just talking, you have to put effort in it. You have to read, you have to do your thesis, you have to do a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Yeah, but you know, afterwards, you realize how great you did, how great you are, how you can feel more that satisfaction than having like something just given to you. You will not appreciate it that much. I've mm-hmm. seen a lot of incidents where a child is given so much stuff full of toys. Oh, Christmas time. His room full of toys. At first, the child is so happy with this one. Then after a while, he doesn't understand. Then comes another. I'm happy. What happened to the rest? Just for seconds. He was laughing and so happy. Then afterwards, go back to the other one. How can I appreciate how you? He never appreciate anything. And by doing that too, it's not, I don't know if he will appreciate his life. He will just think that it's everything is given, handed down. But if you work for it, you really feel it. I thought before, for me too, I thought before, I'm the oldest child, so I was the favorite one. What I wanted, they always gave. So sometimes I said, I wish I'm still a child. Because now I have to work.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I always tell my friends, the more I work, the more I feel value of myself. The more I'm happier. That's mm-hmm. what I've learned.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, because I can see something. I can see my labor. I can see that I really, really did the best I could. And I was really putting a lot of my energy to that thing. And then I can see result. Even if there's no result, it's just that feeling that I did it. That mm-hmm. satisfaction that you just don't let it go. You did something out of it.
Another question I have. I know there's a very strong rhetoric around the issue of immigration in the public sphere today. Do you have any comments that you want to make on that?
I see a lot of conversation, and I want to be neutral. You know, I like to hear from them. I like to hear from them. And yeah, they are right in their own way. And my friends are also right in their own way. And they said they want to change this way. And then somebody said, how could they do that? You know, it's not fair because the way their experience is too, that they have to work very hard. Like the Dhamma, what's that?
Dhaka.
Yeah, I asked my friend, what do you think about Dhaka? I said, no, I don't. Why? Oh, it's not fair. Look, we come here, I come here, I struggle. I send my kids to, I go to work every day and all this. I send my kids and I have to pay from my pocket. I work very hard. And I'm not very familiar with Dhaka, but she said, like, Dhaka is like, they have these things and they don't have to go work. They're just given that thing. They go to work, they go to school. I don't know how true it is, but something like, yeah, they don't have to really work that much. Like them.
What I've heard is that,
my understanding of DACA is that it simply allows children who were brought here and are undocumented to be protected against deportation while they work and go to school.
Yeah, free.
Once you're...
Right?
I'm not entirely sure of the...
Yeah, but something like that. But like here, the whole people who has been here, like my sister, I mean, yeah, we are outside. My sister didn't have that. She has to work very hard. She has, and my mom, and you have to help pay for her education. You see, that's the free education for DACA, I think that's the thing. And she has to go with us. You have to get her own money. But I think, honestly, the DACA is different. So I think that's the thing I said, well, if you look at that way too, no? And I think for the DACA people, they look at other things. They have, the DACA people, I think they have to think also what, they have to listen to what the other people say. It's not just, I have to do this, I have to do this. You know, you have to do this, you have to give it to me. They should be, it's a privilege. I think that's a privilege for those people who have DACA too. So I think they have to listen to other people. Why they don't? Why? They have to find out why they don't want it to continue.
Some more open communication.
Yeah, they have to. And then at the same time, maybe by that, they can be, you know, they there's some kind of changes where both sides can be satisfied. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not just like, I want this like a kid. I want this. I want this. I said, there should be something where, okay, you can have both of them. How about you can have it this time, and then tomorrow I can have this time. I think that's the best way, though.
But do you have any thoughts on, I guess, the debate around the border control issues and the idea of building a wall and not building a wall?
Who was telling me something? I don't know. I just heard something like somebody was telling me that she is one of these. She is asked to be a witness or something. I don't know the name of that. When you are asked by the government to be one of the witness, to judge. You call that one?
On a jury.
On a jury, yes. Duty. And I have heard a lot. I'm not discriminating the Hispanic people. You know, because what I heard is really the in Harrisonburg, there's a lot. That's what she said. That's what I heard just from her, that a lot that's happening is Hispanic people are in rampant having lots of criminals that are Hispanic, you know. So I don't know if you heard about Filipinos, because Filipino, we are a group of people that we don't want trouble. We want to do the best we can. And we are more or less, also one Filipino is like, we are like family oriented, and we just want to stay in one side. We don't want trouble. So we don't want even to go out and have placards said, oh, we want this and that. You know, we don't want to be in that. We are just people that don't want any in trouble at all. We want to stay away from that. But I know a lot of some people, they are so vocal with it. But then do they know really why they do they know really what they're doing? You know, do they have the full knowledge of, you know, or they don't know the consequences of what they're doing? I don't know, because myself, I want to stay away from that. No, I've been asked to rally, that we call rally and all. I'm not very comfortable with rallies. I'm more on helping other people on other things than rallies, voicing out those things. I just feel like negotiations. And if we can avoid rallies, that would be great. Those things, I stay away.
Yes, I understand where you're coming from. So is there anything else that you would like the public to know about your story, or that you want to mention that you haven't told yet?
Oh, did I tell you about that? We are in the archive, Shenandoah Archive.
I don't recall.
Yeah, one time we were interviewed by Hannah Moses. That was in 2015.
Oh, yes.
And you can find my thing too in special
collections.
Yes. Shenandoah. They're talking about also how we come from Shenandoah Valley, something like that. But this one is a little bit different, because your thing is, you know, with the government, with the DACA, There is more on how we come. And I think you can, some of my stories, some of them are there. I mean, the way I see things is, might be kind of different. You might get something new in that.
Okay, nice. Is there anything that you want students to take away from this interview after they listen to it?
Ooh, can I not listen? well, I don't know you. What I know, I'm just letting you, I'm just telling what I feel and my experience. Yeah, but I don't know. You know, how did this, you say, yeah, how about you? What do you think?
What I think students should take away? Well, I think you've told a very nice story about staying true to yourself and always being open-minded and being open to change and trying to always work as hard as you can to just improve yourself and kind of get to the best place which you can, which has been very inspiring. I love how you also spoke about your motives to stay here in the United States and how you kind of coped with adjusting to the different culture and how you kind of found your own way in like an industry that was ideal for you and how you continued to build on your education and just do what you wanted to do, which I think was very inspiring. I think that's definitely something a lot of students can take away from this and benefit from in listening to this. Would you agree with that? Or?
Yeah, I think I can. That would be nice because my thing really is to inspire and motivate people and be more open-minded to change, because change is good. It's for the better. If it changes, that's bad, then I don't want to be in part of it. But maybe somehow, if some changes you cannot stop, so maybe I can use it for something else, something good. We can make something out good out of it. You know, it's always like doing the good thing, doing the right thing. Yeah, but if you use it for bad things, I'm not for it. Yeah, we need change for the best for everyone. It's not just for one person, because we want people to accept it. Maybe sometimes it's harder for them to accept. You know, some people are so used to old things. And some people, I think it's personality. You know, there's some fixed personality, right? But, you know, I think there are always ways to do things that where we can, well, show this person that this change is good. Like I said, talk is not enough. You need to do the work.
Okay. And I just have one more question for you. And if you need to take a second to think about this, you can. Is what was the biggest struggle or challenge or barrier that you had to overcome in immigrating to the United States, which you think is important for other people to hear?
Well, let's see about that. Well, one thing I want to say is that people in our country are always thinking that coming over here, America is a land of lots of potential, a land of opportunities where people are given if we want to work, there's work, you know. Like in my country, it's hard because you want to work, it's hard to find work. There's just so many people. Here, you work, no matter what, you can find money. And there's so much stuff to do. A lot. I know what in my country, a lot of even people like selling in department stores. I heard they're college graduate. They won't accept people not college graduate anymore. So here, I mean, it's like some people even work three jobs. to get three jobs so they got more money. There's not as much opportunity, you know? But here, if you just work hardworking and you have the energy to work 3-4 jobs, you can do it. Yeah, but immigration here is, it was not, some people are blessed. I can just say, some people are blessed and have not a lot of trouble doing their paperwork and all, or bringing their kids here in short time. But a lot of people have troubles. I don't know. Because what I can say is about my sister, she was like 20-something years old when my mom petitioned her. Well, she was petitioned before that, but she did not agree my mom remarrying my stepdad. So at that time, she was in Philippines. My other sister, she was not 18 years old yet, you see? Mm-hmm. So my sister, youngest sister, went and gave her or took papers for her just to sign. So she could have been, it was easier in Bangladesh, in Asia, because it's just, you know, everybody knows everyone. So it was not as bad. But mm-hmm. my sister was so upset with my mom. She burned the papers. Then the time when she decided that, oh, I want to be there. I want to be with you guys because we were all here already. It took us a long time. It took her, I think, over 10 years.
Just to be able to come here? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
For her paper to come out. Yeah, because we did a lot of things. I know we went to the university, and we wanted her to have continued ed or master degree. And we were denied because she is already petitioned. Wait for it to come out.
So you tried to get her a student visa?
Student visa. We tried my dad, since he knows some government officials. He tried to go and ask for help.
And what year was this around?
My sister.
When you first started trying, if you can recall.
I think I came in 1990, somewhere in the 1990, 2000. When did she come? 2001? About 98, maybe 99.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, she, because now my sister, well, not 10 years, 12 years younger than me. No, 8 years younger than me. Because the youngest is 10 years younger. Mm-hmm. And she is second to the youngest. Yeah. Took us that one. We tried, and so she really wanted to come now. Yeah, it took her that. But for us, it was not really that hard because my ex-husband is from Spain. See, and my kids have Spanish nationality. I was the only Filipino because I did not want to become a Spanish. When I married my ex-husband, I could have changed my nationality into Spanish right mm-hmm. away, automatic. But I stood up and said, no, I don't want to be, I want to be a Filipino citizen. Yeah, so but when I came here, so that's the time when we decided that, so my mom petitioned us. We spent money. I don't know how much we spent, maybe around 5,000. Yeah, 3 to 5,000 for that's the lawyer.
So it was.
We didn't have to go out, mm-hmm. we stayed. You see, some people were asked to go out and wait, but we stayed and we were able to work.
You were able to work while you stayed?
Yeah, away. Yeah. So that's the thing that we had. And I know some of our friends here, they came here through marriage. So I know one friend, she came two years ago, and after a year, she is able to bring her kids. They were mm-hmm. under under 18 years old, though.
Okay.
Yeah. They're here. So mm-hmm. I told my friend, you're so blessed, because I know a lot of other friends, they have been waiting for their kids to come. They've been here for a while, and you just come in.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Were there any other comments that you wanted to make just to wrap up the interview?
Yeah. I want the best for everyone, and I would like if this, you know, with this work of yours, that people will get something out of it, and it will be something that maybe can help open the eyes of other people, you know, to be more understanding and respectful of other cultures, you know. And if there's a way that we can be together, get united and discuss things and just negotiate and compromise whatever is the problem that we encounter in our life here in Harrisonburg.
Okay, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me. I really do appreciate you sharing your story.